have a card, list five friends. Every person can say, I want to be involved in this. Here are the friends and relatives and neighbors I know who do not know the Lord. Put them down by name. You know them. And if you can't fill out the card with five, put down three and says, by the end of this year, I'm going to find two more that I can add to my card. But you make your commitment to those five friends. And here's what I suggest. You make a faith promise for 1 year. Say, in this coming year, Lord, open the door to one of these five that I'm praying for faithfully through the year. That I would be alert to some problem, some issue in their lives. That I could be an answer to them through you so that they could come to know you. Simple idea. There's an idea. But you see, that's what he's talking about. It's not the religion. It's not the good works. No, it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says we've got to reach them. Now, watch this. These are the obstacles. Consider the world. What does the world need? What's right here? Communicate the word. This is what the world needs. The word of God. And by the way, I know you are so grateful in this church. You don't hear what they hear in a lot of churches this morning. It's do, do, do. You ever hear that? You gotta do this, gotta do that. I'm glad. Aren't you glad you're in a church? I know your pastor. He says, done, done, done. Jesus paid it all. Isn't that great? What a difference. So you should be glad you're not in one of those churches. Drives you nuts, the rules they give us. No, it's done. That doesn't mean we don't have rules, but in salvation, Jesus paid it all. Amen?
Amen.
Man, I love you. Here we go. Watch this now. What do we do? Look at the verse 6. But, and your Bible students, you know when you see the word but, contrast. We're moving to a new section. But, the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down? Or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? What does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. Do you see the availability of the word? We have it. It's in our heart. It's in our mouth. We have the word of God. In this church, you have it. In fact, we have it right here in our laps. In so many translations, we can't even read the Bible in unison in the church anymore. It sounds like a tongues meeting. And you have to wait for these amplified people that go on and on and on and on. We have so many translations in English, it's pathetic. We have over 40 translations in English. And there's still places in the world they don't have a scrap of scripture in their language. So, he says, look, we have the Word of God. It's readily available. Now, watch the second point. Look at the simplicity of the Word. Look at verse 9. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. First, with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Aren't you glad it's simple? We don't have this complex message. It's a simple, clear message. And if you've slipped in here today and you haven't made that step of faith, please don't leave till you talk to somebody. Say, look, and I'm not sure I have that. I remember, I'm so glad it's simple. I remember I went down to Latin America. I didn't know any Spanish. It was pathetic. I'd sit in services like this and they'd go on. I mean, down there it's 2 hours, 3 hours, and on and on. And I understood two words in 2 hours. Amen and hallelujah. That was it. And I'm in language school. And I wanted to talk to people about the Lord. I didn't know the language. So I wrote out the simple plan of salvation. Got next to a language school instructor. I said, would you translate this for me? And I'll just memorize it. And I did the best I could. Now my wifey, and you know her, my dear wifey, had enough Spanish. She taught a children's class. And I led the singing. With one word, I could lead the singing. Cantemos, that means let's sing. Then I'd hold up the chorus card. I couldn't read it, but they could. So after one of those meetings, so I'm talking to Carlitos, junior high guy. And I thought, hey, here's my chance. I unloaded what I had memorized. And I'm sure I did very poorly. I'm sure it came out like this. Quiere aceptar a Jesucristo como su Salvador. If you know some Spanish, that's pretty bad. I said, would you like to put your trust in Christ? He said, sí, quisiera hacerlo. I'd like to do that. I didn't even see his buddy sitting next to him. He leaned forward. He said, ¿Pudiera hacerlo también? Could I do that too? One by one, those guys prayed. I couldn't even understand all their prayer. They prayed to put all of their trust in Christ. And I sat there with tears in my eyes, and I thought, isn't this amazing? With this stammering tongue, God takes the simple message of salvation and transforms lives. It's not the messenger. It's the message that has power. So right here it is. We have the word. It's available. It's simple. It's clear. And number three, universality of the word. Let me read. Verse 11. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's right here on these banners. World missions. Mandate for the nations. On this text right here, that his ways may be known. In all the earth, all nations, all peoples. This is for the whole world. That's why we need this conference. Get the flags up. Back off. Think big. Because we're part of that worldwide enterprise. Now, the question is, how do you get the word to the world? And I've been guilty of this. I used to be at missions conferences. And it was at this point, this guy from Dallas rolls in, starts frothing at the mouth, and starts shouting, go! 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 And we're all sitting there saying, where am I supposed to go? I've already said it. That is not the key word for missions. Four questions right here. We'll finish this passage. He burrows down to the key word. The Apostle Paul will tell you what the key word is. You're going to find it. It's not go. Watch this. Let's take the four key questions. Question number one, verse 14. He says, for how then can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? Well, he's already said it. You have to believe in the heart before you can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Second question. And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? Now that makes sense. You don't believe in a vacuum. You have to hear this message. Understand it. Make a commitment of the heart. Call on the name of the Lord and you're saved. Third question. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Remember, that's not what I'm doing. It's not the pulpit. It's not the preaching this way. It's chattering the good news. Somebody has to convey that message. They hear it, understand it, make a commitment of the heart, call on the name of the Lord, and they're saved. Fourth and final question. Verse 15. And how can they preach unless they are, what's the key word? Sent. Somebody, a whole bunch of somebody's called Grace Bible Church, has to send them, somebody, you, somebody, me, to be out there to communicate the message. They hear it, understand it, make a commitment of the heart, call on the name of the Lord and they're saved. I thank God for senders. We're always talking about the goers. Oh, of course we need goers. We've got them here. But thank God for people who stay by the stuff and send. We need more senders. You and me who can send the people to reach the whole world. And I put it down there, the little idea that I shared last time, of adopting a missionary. I think I mentioned last time, and I'll just review this quickly. I was here, and some of you remember it. The question is, have you done anything about it? If not, then here it is all over again. I have to tell you the story, how this came to my mind. I was out in Spokane, Washington, speaking at a church out there, and it was a conference I didn't like. I just, this thing was bugging me, because it was pressure for money. Have you ever been in those deals? where they lock the doors, keep taking the offering till they get what they want. I'm amazed at this church. Look at that. We don't even have an offering plate. You've got to be determined to give your offering. Here, you have to go find that box, get your money in there. And with the situation is today in finances, you're all thinking, yeah, I'm going to avoid that box. Let me keep going. I don't know what's going to happen. No. Give. But this church was just pressuring everybody for money. It was money. In fact, they had a big thermometer right next to the pulpit. I hope we don't have a thermometer around here someplace. This thing was driving me crazy. Then I went to the women's luncheon on Tuesday. I wasn't the speaker. I was there for the meal. And I hate women's luncheons. They never serve food. They have salads. And I loved it last night. Cookies, man. I like that. Oh, man. We have dinner on the grounds today. I can't believe it. Lori is there working all night long getting this thing ready for some of us. But at any rate, this was a hopeless women's luncheon. It was all salads. And I'm sitting there on a stuffed celery stick, not too happy. When I was thinking, why do we put so much pressure on money for missions? We talk about supporting missionaries. We always spell that with a dollar sign, support. Some people spell missions that way, as you know. M-I-S-S-I-O-N-S. It's money, money, money. No. And I'm sitting there thinking, I've got an idea. Let's adopt missionaries. You can't put the dollar sign in the word adopt if you try. So, on a napkin, I wrote down this simple idea. I pass on to you. It's right there in the notes. Here's what you do. I'll just take them off very fast. What you do is take one of the missionaries, either out of this group or some that you know in other contexts, but take one, start with one, and say, I'm going deeper. I'm going to adopt that missionary. And here's what you do. Five things, real fast. Number one, daily pray. Now, I hope you pray for all the missionaries, but the one you adopt, that becomes a daily function. And I like the PS system. As you pray for your needs, put a PS on there. If you have problems in business, you need some help there, and PS, help them in their functions. Family issues, you're praying for your, and PS, help their kids too. See, you don't even have to know all the prayer requests. You just PS everything for the one you adopt. So daily pray. Weekly give. Yes, giving is important. They can't exist without that finance, but that's not the most important. But you should, every week, feel the delight of giving. And I keep telling people, don't give till it hurts. It's not biblical. God loves a what? A cheerful giver. So give till you're happy. If you're not happy, give a little bit more. Just get happy on this day. Okay? Daily pray, weekly give. Monthly write a letter. And of course, today with electronic mail, it's so simple. Just shoot a little note off to them. You have no idea what that means to people out there. Just to get a little note. Hey, I'm praying for you. That'll just change their day. So, daily pray. Weekly, give. Monthly, write a letter. Quarterly, every 3 months, send a care package. Find out the things they can't get. In Spain, we could not buy marshmallows. You have all the money in the world. You can't buy a marshmallow in Spain because they don't have them. So you can see us over there. Some folks found that. Check the customs, of course. But can you see us with that package? Marshmallows! So what if they're mushed up? Those are marshmallows. So find out the things, ship it out there. Daily pray, weekly give, monthly write the letter, quarterly send a care package. Finally, annually, send birthday cards, anniversary cards. They're part of your family. One final suggestion, do not sign those cards in ink. It's another thing we couldn't buy in Spain. English birthday cards. So sign it lightly in pencil. Or stick a note in there. You can recycle this thing if you want to. And sure enough, you get it back for your birthday. I think you get the point, don't you? You know what missions is? People. Sending people to reach people. That's why I love this. The pictures of faces of people. Beautifully done. People. Sending people to reach people. You're the sender. It happened on January 19th. A group called M19 barged into Wycliffe headquarters down in South America. 4 men, 1 woman, 2 of them dressed as police. They barged in there looking for the director. Couldn't find him. So they took the one who was leading the Bible study that morning, a young man called Chet Bitterman. Took him for ransom. They said, if you missionaries don't get out of our country by February 19th, we're going to kill him. We got the news at Dallas. I was teaching at the time, and every class I had, we prayed for Chet's release. Every class. And February 19th came and passed, and I got the news they had stayed the execution. I said, man, what a God we have. How he answers prayer. But I'll never forget March 9th. I was about to speak at a conference near Washington, D.C., Barcroft Bible Church, when a man in the foyer before the service came to me and said, have you heard the news? I said, what news? What news about Chet Bitterman, he said. They found his body wrapped in a flag in an abandoned bus. He's dead. I was shaken. I got off alone. I said, God, what is going on? We prayed for his release. And it was as though God spoke to me. He has been released.
Amen.
Perfect release. He's with the Lord. Years after that, I was in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and I met his parents. I wish you could meet his parents. They love the Lord with all their hearts. From Chet's father, I copied this note of a thing they found in Chet's personal effects. Here's what he wrote. The situation in Nicaragua is getting worse. If Nicaragua falls, I guess the rest of Central America will too. Maybe this is just some kind of self-inflicted martyr complex. But I find this reoccurring thought that perhaps God will call me to be martyred in his service in Colombia. And then he wrote these words. I am willing. I keep this in my Bible all the time. I am willing. Willing. I think Chet had it all figured out in just 3 words. That's it. Whatever you want, God, I'm willing. Now, I prayed long and hard last night about this and this morning, and I'm convinced God wants me to give an invitation. I'm going to. And I like to be the first to respond. I like to say to God in a renewed way, my commitment to Him, I am willing. God, take me. Use me. I don't have that many years left. But take me and use me, work in me and through me to accomplish your purpose. I am willing. If you'd like to join me in that commitment or recommitment, I'm going to ask that you stand, but I'm going to plead with you. Please don't stand unless you mean it. And don't be embarrassed if you're standing, someone else is seated, or you're seated, someone else is standing. That's perfectly all right. But if you would like to say from your heart and mean it to God, I am willing. Anything you want to do, God, just do it in and through me. I am willing. Why don't you just stand where you are? But don't stand unless you mean it. Please, don't stand unless you praise God. Praise the Lord. Wow. Amen. This is very moving. I am convinced God is going to take us up on it. He'll use us like He's never used us before. I don't know how. But I am convinced He is honored in that commitment right now. God, we stand before You. We don't have a lot to offer. But we mean it. From our hearts, we want to say to You, God, I am willing. Take us. Use us like You've never used us before to reach out to this troubled world. Work in us and through us for Your glory. And we thank You in advance for what You are going to do. In Christ's precious name. Amen. Let's all stand, if we could, for a minute, and before whatever we have here to conclude. I want to thank you again. I'll be here for lunch, and then I'm heading back to Dallas. And I have 2 coming weeks that are just back-to-back. You might pray that I might make my way through it. speaking at the 75th anniversary cruise of Pine Brook. It's in conference grounds up there in Pennsylvania, and it sounds real great cruise, but I was in the Navy. I'm not looking forward to this too much, frankly. But I will delight in being with the people on that thing to Bermuda. But then I come back, we get into port, and I didn't realize that the very day I have to travel right on to Calgary. Libby's going to be with me. She has to go right back. She teaches in a Christian high school, so she's got her work to do, and she'll be flying right back to Dallas, and I fly right on to Calgary. I get there at midnight and start with classes the next day. I won't know what hour it is, but you might pray for me for those 2 weeks, especially the coming 2 weeks. I appreciate your prayers. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. And I don't know who's going to conclude the service here, but I appreciate y'all. You got a song to sing, or did I have a little note there? Do I have it up there?
I got a song to sing.
Ah, good. Boy, this is great. And you notice that one, too. If you can't remember any other way, pray for the blues on Monday. You're a wonderful group. Let's sing. Thank you so much.